And hi, this is Tom Heck, and this is the first call for the Attractor Factor phone teleconference study group, virtual study group. And on the call is Susan, Al, David, Ken, Bonnie, and Christina. And so I'd like to officially welcome everybody to the call. And so the kind of the format I was thinking about is having five initial calls, and this first call is taking a look at pages 1 through 54 and seeing if we do in fact need a framework for these calls, rather than and sort of working our way through the book rather than just jumping from one topic to another. Or and Ken and I exchanged some emails earlier today in that there's probably folks on the call with various experiences that can be brought in to enhance what we're talking about that aren't necessarily mentioned in the book, or maybe even some contrasting thoughts to get us thinking. So I'd like to get some initial feedback on people's on just that, the format of tonight is the introductory sections, page 1 through 54, and then next week steps 1 and 2, and steps 1 is like 3 or 4 pages long, and then and that's why I joined it up with step 1 and 2, and then 3, our third call would be the third step, and the fourth call would be the fourth step, and the fifth call, fifth step, and then decide whether we like it from week to week, if we should keep going. What are your thoughts?
I think that sounds great. We're probably going to have to work our way into the format that ends up being best for all of us.
Yeah. Well, I am totally open, having not had or led a virtual book study group for multiple weeks before. I've led teleclasses, but I'm mostly doing this just because I thought, you know, this would help keep me in the material and thinking about it and applying it, and hooking up with people on the listserv is great. And I thought this might add a new or at least another dimension. It's not necessarily meant to replace anything. It's just I was thinking it would be fun to get the dynamic of immediate, you know, conversation. So with that said, I went through tonight earlier today actually, and looked at the preface and went through each of the sections and just pulled out some quotes that Joe had mentioned and the pages that they're on, and thought it would be maybe that would be one format or one way to start, and just because not knowing how else to do this. But does anybody else have a suggestion on how we should start tonight?
No, I think what you said is a good idea.
Okay. Well,
yeah, I'm all for that.
Can I actually have, when I picked up this book, I'll start with this, and that is the preface. You know, his second sentence says, I never wanted to publish this book or make it available to a wide audience. And he says, because I was nervous about how the world would perceive me, and I figured if I told the world about my interest in spirituality, people would ridicule me, clients would fire me, and these organizations would shun me, so I played it safe and kept the book secret. I tell you, being familiar with the Abraham Hicks material for several years, what struck me about this book, what really got me excited, was the application in a business environment. You know, the application in kind of just putting it out there, saying these are spiritual principles that can be applied in a business environment, and that's what excited me most. And I'm curious if anybody else was excited by that.
I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
Yes.
I feel like the principles that he talks about in this book are spiritual principles. I'm getting an echo. Is anybody else?
I'm not.
It's not that bad. I am.
Okay.
I can hear it. Go ahead.
Okay. But once we start to realize that the universe basically controls, we just manage whatever that, you know, whatever our purpose is and whatever we've chosen in this life, that everything is connected, whether it's your business life, your personal life, everything, all is governed by the same principles. And I think that's what the conclusion he came through the materials that he studied.
Well, this is Tom. This is, I guess what, I agree with that, and it's, for me, in leading workshops in the area of team and leadership development, that area, I've always, for example, I always do a blessing on the room before, you know, the training room before anybody
mm-hmm.
shows up.
Mm-hmm.
And, but I never share that
right.
with people. You know, and I've led train-the-trainer workshops, and I just don't bring up in the past these types of things. You know, how I've got a list of about 22,000 people who subscribe to my newsletter, and in the past, prior to reading this book, people would write me and say, well, you know, I just became the head of this new division, and how, you know, any recommendations on developing a new... you know, here's an actual example. A woman who runs a juvenile corrections facility wrote me and said, I've tried different things to help build the team, my team here at this facility. And, you know, and it sounded like what she was doing was great. And in the past, I think I would have given her, you know, just another technique.
Mm-hmm.
Except mm-hmm. this time what I did is I said, okay, here's a spiritual approach. And I essentially outlined the principles in the book, you know, just real basic, and tried to test the water with that,
mm-hmm.
and didn't get a response back from her.
Really? Because I know you had mentioned that last
yeah.
time, which is funny.
So, yeah.
I got to throw something in here.
Yeah.
As a writer and someone who did not actually know that Joe Vitale was really a writer as much as a marketer when I first read The Attraction Factor, what everything that he says about I didn't want to get these principles out, blah, blah.
Yeah.
This is going to sound terrible, and I have enormous gratitude to Joe, and I like him enormously. But I got to tell you, I find that to be a marketing approach. I don't mean that he may not have felt some of this, but I honestly think that that was a marketing thing. I didn't want to tell these secrets to people because they're so powerful. And you, the reader, sitting there going, great, I've stumbled into something powerful. This is fabulous. And I think that's a good part of why he wrote that in there, because ordinarily speaking, especially when you're writing nonfiction, something like this, you don't really share that kind of thing with people. And it doesn't bother me that he put it in. I mean, the man is, you know, he lives, breathes, and sleeps marketing, and he's obviously brilliant at it. And more power to him. It's great. But that particular thing, when I first saw it, I thought, mm-hmm, marketing, marketing. Not that that made the material any less relevant. It was one of the truly few, maybe half dozen books I've ever read in my life that literally turned me around.
Mm-hmm.
So obviously it's extremely important, and I wouldn't have started the list without it. But when I saw that, I thought, marketing.
So I
hope this doesn't
Susan,
make
you
sound cynical, but
you,
that was the first thought that I had.
Yeah. Susan, I didn't get that you started the list.
Oh, yeah, you didn't know that? Yeah,
no,
I did. I started
the
list back in June.
Oh, good for you.
Well, my friend Bernie, who's a co-owner of the list, was the one who emailed me and said, you've got to get this book. Beg, borrow, steal it, I don't care what. The reason she knew about it was because she's a librarian at a college in England, and so she's constantly getting lists of new books that are coming out. She saw this one, ordered it, thought it looked good, read it when it came, and just fell in love with it and passed that on to me. And when I started looking into just the material she had and the websites Joe had up about it before I even got hold of the book, I was so thoroughly hooked. By the time the book arrived, which was only about 2 days later, it was something I was totally ready for. So, yeah, I was, and it's been great because, I mean, people like Al and Christina and Paul and the other people who've joined, I mean, I feel like I've been sitting at their feet learning since this time because I didn't know anything except what I had done in the books and the related readings. So, this is pretty exciting.
Yeah.
It really is.
This is Christina. Can I just address what, Susan just said?
Certainly.
I agree with her that some of the wording in The True Confession is a little bit of marketing, but the essence of the fact that he was afraid to make this public in 1999, I certainly can agree with that because people were not ready to hear it.
Mm.
And
are you talking about the original spiritual marketing that he published?
And that's
okay,
what he's
yeah,
talking about. He's talking about in 19, the attractor factor is just an expanded version of spiritual marketing, you know, just kind of polished up and added to with the stuff he's learned over the last 6 years or 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, but 6 years ago, to present this information, especially to someone who is already a well-known, recognized author in a very conservative market, would have been a very risky thing for him to do.
Well, I guess what this is Tom. What interests me is that aspect. But that aspect, the application in a business environment, inspired me to want to respond to people. Now, when I respond to people about, you know, hey, I run this corrections facility. Now I think about, okay, my normal response, how I've responded in the past, and in addition to that, I add this other piece. So I'm kind of putting it out there, and there's been other ramifications. I guess that's the part that I'm interested in hearing about. Has anybody else come forward with groups of people that you wouldn't normally have these conversations or share this information or respond in a spiritual context?
I
don't think
daily.
It kind of depends on whether you actually feel, based on what you're hearing from somebody, that they're ready to hear it? Because I think most of us, if you know you're going into a hostile environment, it seems kind of self-defeating. But when I talk to somebody that possibly could be interested, I've had friends, and in fact, one friend of mine, who I told her about the attractor factor, she just flipped over it. And in fact, she's gotten more into things like the use of EFT than I have, and she's a trained, registered nurse. And she tells me this is the most powerful thing she's ever seen in healing.
Mm.
And she just thinks it's the greatest thing. But I also knew when I talked to her that she was open to it and that she wasn't going to laugh in my face. She might not agree with me, but she wasn't going to embarrass me.
Mm-hmm.
So is there anybody that actually tried to introduce this to somebody who they felt really wasn't ready for it?
Oh, I did.
You did?
Oh, yeah.
She's great. Look at that.
Is that Christina?
Absolutely. I love the book. I read the book like 2 times in a row. And everybody I know is not, I mean, I'm very spiritual and I'm very intuitive and I'm very, left of center as far as mainstream anything goes, and I always have been. And the people around me know that. They don't always accept they'll just kind of go, okay, whatever. But I was so intent on this book, I bought the book for people that I knew if I asked them to go buy it and read it, they would never do it. So I bought the book and was incredibly insistent that it was mandatory for them to read it, whether they liked it or not. That just trust and, you know, absorb it on whatever level they were capable of.
And what kind of reaction did you get?
And I actually got a pretty good reaction. Even my mother, who was, she's 80. I made her read the book. And, it took her a long time to get through it because I don't think she really was grasping it. But, I had her read it. I had two of my brothers read it. My husband, the first time was sort of reluctant to read it, but I was insistent. And then he had his business partner read it. And then they both clicked in on it, so it was excellent. And improved their, the way that they, it just changed the way they were looking at things. And I just think it's a fabulous book, and it was so many things happened to me from the time. I read it in succession twice immediately. I read it and then went back and read it again. And just things started happening in my life that have been unbelievable. So, I'm like, why wouldn't you want to do this?
Hmm. This is Al. Before the attractor factor, I was already, quote-unquote, on my path. The attractor factor accelerated where I was headed. And since then, on a daily basis, I don't come out very bluntly about spirituality or that sort, but I know how to use my words or wording to talk to people, just to plant seeds in their minds so that they can possibly have their level of awareness upgraded, and that perhaps maybe in the future that, you know, either they'll come back to me or something will click later on in their lives. So I do this on a daily basis, whether it's one-on-one or groups of people. And whoever will listen, you know, will listen. And if I hear something that's not going to happen, then I just move on. But yeah, I do this on a daily basis, and I have no qualms about doing it. It's quote unquote no fear to doing it. I just do it, and I don't go out there preaching like Bible thumping or anything like that. I just talk to people, and and one of my biggest phrases that I use on people is, why are you limiting yourself? And it gets them to thinking.
Well, go ahead.
This is Bonnie. Tom and I have talked in a couple of other times about this, and I've been studying Abraham for a while. I skimmed the book. I'm now reading it through for the first time. What I'm finding fascinating for me is I get it, and how difficult it, I mean, I get it. I bring it to my coaching clients. I bring it to general conversations. I'm fortunate most people that I'm attracted to, between their predisposition for spiritual stuff and my ability to language things. What I'm amazed at is how many times my internal feelings and thoughts revert back to the old way, and how hard I'm having to work, how diligently I am still having to practice this to not fall down the rabbit hole. One of the reasons that I came to the call, I mean, I get it on a personal level, but the challenge for me is right now I'm relaunching my coaching practice after about 6 years of sabbatical, in a sense, and the fears and the doubts that are part of my old programming, this is just the excuse to replay those scripts. So part of why I'm here is to get support from just listening, from direct input, from reading the book and probably reading again, that it's worth practicing, that I'm okay, just keep practicing. It gets easier, the programming will reset, whatever. So that's my two cents for the moment.
Thanks, Bonnie. Well, I'm still inspired by that, the concept of being, I guess, more transparent in the area of spirituality. By the way, I happened to read an article in I'm trying to remember which newspaper. It might have been USA Today or Wall Street Journal or something, about the how spirituality is becoming more, the doors are opening in the areas of business to spiritual concepts, and more overtly than kind of along the side. I used to, at one point, work for a YMCA, which when I first started working for them in this particular association in the early 90s, it wasn't particularly spiritual in the approach, and so that was though the mission statement was definitely, you would think that spirituality would be you know, an everyday occurrence, but it definitely wasn't.
Because it had Christian in the title?
Yeah. and that has changed. I think a lot of YMCAs, I occasionally speak at YMCAs, and what I've noticed is definitely a more overtly, this is what we're about on a spiritual level, which is very interesting. I mean, just for, again, coming from the standpoint of, for me, moving from a place of, this is something that I study and talk about and read on my own,
mm-hmm.
In the private of my home, or mm-hmm. Versus, just announcing it to everybody that I work with who are more in terms of trying to solve a business or a team problem, and saying, well, there's all these techniques. It's like I was I went up to organization that supports trainers. I'm trying to remember the name of it. The Association for
ASTD.
ASTD. There you go. ASTD. Was that Bonnie?
Yeah.
It was ASTD, American Society for Training and Development. I was leading a teleclass at one point, and someone said, "Oh, can you come up and lead a workshop?" I was up in Milwaukee, and so that I led a 3-hour workshop on team building games, how to use them to build, to enhance your training. And at the very end, on the flight up there, as it turns out, I had been reading The Attractor Factor. Okay, so mm-hmm. imagine this. These are hardcore trainers. Milwaukee, there was trainers there from Harley Davidson, right? And all these other companies. And it was a day-long event. I was one of three presenters. And so I had, on my flight up there, I was reading The Attractor Factor, and I said, okay, here we go. And the night before, I was, in the hotel room the night before, and I added some slides to my PowerPoint, and they were The Attractor Factor. Some notes on The Attractor Factor, and I ended my talk by saying, okay, I just gave you a ton of techniques, and if you really want to make a difference in the lives of the people that you're training, and you really want to figure out a way to make an effective training event, I said, get this book. And I held it up, I showed it, and I said, here are the basic steps that this author, Joe Vitale, talks about. And five people came up to me. I mean, it was about 100 people there. Five people came up to me and said, what was this book? And tell us more about that. Because I fit it in just at the end. I said, I'd like to encourage you to do this. This is a giant lever that will allow you to make a huge difference. And I felt like I was, the funny part was, I felt like I was risking something.
Mm-hmm.
So, for whatever that's worth, I still feel like I'm as far as that's where I am with sharing this stuff is figuring out how to apply it, in a in the work I'm doing every day, rather than just trying to manifest a parking spot downtown.
You know, this is Bonnie. I did a coaching session today. It was an initial coaching session. A woman, and she brought her husband. It ended up being a very spiritual coaching session to help her with prioritizing, organizing, setting goals, and being accountable and tracking them. Well, it very appropriately was spiritual, and at the end we were talking about them helping me get out and about in the community. The guy is well networked in business, and he was like, well, I really benefited, my wife really benefited from this, I see how it applies to business, but I don't know how I'm going to market you in business with this conversation. And I thought that was really an interesting piece of feedback. I said, okay, well, we'll do another session focused on just you with business, where are you stuck? He said, well, me. And I went, duh. You know, so even trying to take the business world where people are stuck, it keeps coming back to spiritual stuff.
Mm.
And how to help people understand how to even talk about it is part of the challenge of the transition I think a lot of us are in making this overt, in making this what we're about. So I agree. I hear that.
Well, I think it's kind of interesting because Bernie emailed me that she had been part of a new book club that they just started at her university. It was a chance for everybody to kind of get together outside of the university and just enjoy themselves. And she got them to do The Attractor Factor. It's one of the first books. And she emailed me last week to tell me that she was very discouraged because the entire group hated it. Hated it.
What?
And said that, yeah, they hated
it. Oh, my
God. And they felt that this was so much about trying to make money, and that's just plain greedy, and that's just awful. And Bernie just looked at them like, you guys don't get it.
Oh, my God.
I mean, you really don't get it. But the thing was is that it's so clear that their minds are so locked on certain things that something else is going to have to unlock it, because she put this right in front of them. And the same thing that you and I all read, the same words, obviously, same book, they just thoroughly rejected on every possible level.
Now, these were students at the university?
No, these are teachers and IT people and library people who all work at this particular college in England that she's at. And this was a social evening for them, and something, a chance for them to kind of do something together and have a good time doing it, which is great. And she was very excited when she told me that she'd gotten them to agree to do The Attractor Factor as one of the first books. And she was really looking forward to their feedback and whatever. And when she emailed me and told me what they said, I just felt really bad for her. You know, they just totally didn't get it. You know, and believe me, I mean, all of us are probably very aware that it's not because anything Joe said was particularly complicated or difficult to understand. I mean, he takes great care to be as very plain as possible. It's just that there are people who literally cannot hear this stuff. And that's, you know, I guess because I don't worry too much about sharing it, I just worry about how to apply it in my life. Because my feeling is that if I apply it successfully and people start seeing this, they're going to ask, whatever it is you've got, I want some of it. And then is when I can tell them this is what I'm doing. Meanwhile, I'm getting pleasure out of doing it. You know, I think you know what it is? I've been in network marketing for a long time. And truthfully, that is such a brutal path to take after a while that you just get to the point where, not that you don't want to help other people, but sometimes it's just plain safer to keep it to yourself.
Yeah.
And just, you know, wait till they ask you, what are you doing? And then I'm more than happy to share with anybody. So, because I think I've just learned at some point when you try to tell somebody something that they're just not ready to hear, it ends up kind of being painful. And that's not the way it should be.
You know, it's interesting. You said, this is David. It's interesting that you just said that, because that's the basic premise of Joe's reluctancy to share it at the beginning. When he came out with it, I was afraid to share it because there's a lot of people out there that are not ready for the message. And I'm unclear on how they would accept it. So you and I are sort of clear on where he's going with it. But as your feedback from your friend in England, there's a whole lot of people out there that just not ready for that type of message.
And what's sad is that if they were ready for it, what it would do to change their lives is just so measurable, because all of us have had the experience of it changing our life. It's depressing to think that they're going to have to go through a period of time that we can't help them with, that we can't do anything to make it work for them faster so that it makes it possible for their lives to get better quicker.
Tom, I actually think, Susan, that the way to do that, as I hear you say that, that you've had there's a lot of truth in there in that. The big message I'm getting is that the way to create that opening is to make it successful, apply that in my own life. Will create the openings.
And this is
I totally agree, yeah.
Yeah, Bonnie.
Bonnie, you keep wanting to say something, but we all keep interrupting you. Speak to us, please.
what I would like to do based on this is come back round circle, and rather than talking about how we can get others to pay attention to this, I would like to see us get back to how can we apply it, how can we support each other so that we are doing the work instead of talking about getting others who aren't ready to be open. I need your support. I need this made practical, and I'm open to it. I believe in it, and I'm stuck. So what I would like to see us do is, rather than convince ourselves or figure out how to take it out in the world verbally, that we become masters, that this group become a support for each other, a celebration for each other. How are you applying it? I'm stuck here, and help ourselves so that we live it and let ourselves be the beacon rather than talking about it.
Well,
that's totally right, Bonnie. That you're absolutely right. You are bringing us back to the important point, which is how are we going to do it?
Yeah.
Because you're right. We're ready for it. That's why we're here.
Then let's do it.
So,
that kind of what your intention was anyway?
With me, yeah. At the same time, I think this is good. I mean, we need to move on from that stage of the game of putting it out there and spreading the word. But I think that this is a beautiful example of how this can work. And I just learned a big lesson here, is that the opening is created for everyone else when I do my work. That what I'm experiencing is a reflection of what's inside me, the people that
right.
I see. So yes, go ahead.
I'm sorry, this is David. Okay, I want to follow up with what Bonnie said, because I looked at this discussion as what I would call mastermind. Now Joe has alluded to this, and this has been written about a lot. We have a number of people, we have about 7 or 8 people now on the line,
mm-hmm.
which to me is an incredible start for a mastermind group, which I think is what Bonnie is getting at. How can we help each other?
Yeah.
Synergistically become better at what we want to do. And by doing that, we can help each other grow and then spread it the way we would like to. We are the mastermind on the phone call right now.
Right.
That's right.
We can help each other grow significantly using Joe's philosophy, his attractive philosophy, using other people that you've read. But we are the mastermind.
Thank you.
What I'm looking at. We're building.
That's what I need. I'm real good at talking to others. I'm real good at seeing the shift in them. I'm sometimes in pain within myself because I keep reverting back. Within the same day, I can be up and high and seeing it working. Something happens and I fall back. And so that's what I want from this group. Thanks, David.
You're welcome.
One of the things I've noticed, though, is that in any group that exists like this, the greatest thing that it can give its members is a sense of accountability to the other members.
Mm-hmm.
Because when you are accountable to someone else to do whatever work it is that you've pledged to do,
yep.
it's amazing that you'll do it for someone else, or you'll do it because someone else is there, as
right.
opposed to just letting it go because you say, oh, well, and you give yourself excuses.
Yes.
And I think that's the great value of this group.
Who's speaking?
It's Susan.
It's okay. Hi, Susan. Okay.
Hi. I just think that might be the starting point for us is what do we want to accomplish singly and together, and how are we going to hold each other accountable to accomplish that?
Great.
Right. This is David again.
Yes.
Let me make a quick statement. Okay, I'm the David who put out the word that my mother passed away. So I feel blessed right away. I feel blessed right away that all you people responded to me. So any way that I can help or share my experiences or help everybody else grow to where they want to go, I'm blessed.
Yep.
You people have immensely helped me by giving me feedback already.
Mm.
So I feel blessed to be part of this mastermind.
Well, it's mutual, David. We're blessed to have you.
Really?
I'm so sorry about this time and what's happening in your life, but, you know, we all are so glad that you had your mom. And I'm sorry.
Me too. I appreciate that. So, I mean, to me, this is a wonderful opportunity for us to all do something to help each other grow to the next level.
I want that.
And this is Tom. In taking a look at the framework of this, I'm wondering if the idea of the mastermind can be folded into the idea of a book study group concept, which is starting at the beginning of the book and then moving our way through it and discussing the concepts as we move along. At the same time, using the ideas of a mastermind group, I've done some mastermind groups and that is a mastermind is can be a standalone project in and of itself, mm-hmm. and then to try to do the two at the same time, I'm wondering, you know, can we pull that off?
Tom, this is Bonnie. My hunch, my inkling is, let's do the go through each. I know that the group will grow, but let's just say, for right now, as a possible model, that our intention is to support each other, be mastermind, and that we're going to start by creating a commonality by going through, like we'll go, if we go through the book chapter by chapter for part of the time on the call, and then at the end say, based on this chapter, and it may be that we have to start next week with chapter one, which I think what you said anyway.
Yes.
So if we decide at the end of this call, whether we all choose the same focus and agree to it, or we each have our own, next week we'll start with a real brief, like 2 to 3 sentences. Each person chime in with, this is what I was going to work on, this is how it worked for me, this is the challenge I'm looking at based on my experience. Talk about chapter one, and at the end, everybody set intentions.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's an excellent idea, because this is really, a book club is or a book study group is not quite the same thing. We're looking at something we want to be a truly practical thing for us forever, and the point is how to make it work to all of our advantage. And with this, then, it has to be something practical, and it has to be something that we're literally working through all the time in order for it to have the value that we want it to have, it seems to me.
Right.
See, I like that idea. We work through the book. Because Tom's idea is right. We work through the group book. All the ideas in the book are valuable.
Mm-hmm.
Then we can build on that with the mastermind as a framework. Because as we work through the book, we're all going to be masterminds for each other anyway.
Right.
So just by doing it,
and
you know, it's we're going to be a mastermind.
This is Bonnie again. I know that I've taught yoga, and sometimes I'm doing a beginner class starting again, and there's somebody that's been in the class before. And I tell them, do the postures. You'll get something that doing them again with a new awareness, it may mm-hmm. be that we go through this process again and again and again for a period of time, and other people can join us. They jump in wherever we are in our, whichever chapter we're on that week, and we go through a 6 or a 7 week cycle. The first week we're talking generically, where are we, what do we need, and then go through each chapter. Conceive of following that format of beginning, what were my successes, what are my challenges, this week's chapter, closing with my intention for the week is, and cycle through again, reread the chapter. We'll really be practicing. We'll really be owning it. So
I think that's absolutely wonderful, Bonnie, because, you know, so, I mean, one of the things I've noticed is my husband's always laughing at me all the time and saying, why do you reread books so often? And the answer is, every time I reread it, I get something different out of it. And by the way, you want to hear something hilarious? The only book I've known him to reread since I've known him in the last 13 years is The Attractor Factor. He read it twice back to back.
Wow.
And now he's rereading it again. So there's hope yet.
No, but I think it's a wonderful idea, because the thing is, you're right, new people will join us, and we absolutely want to welcome them. But the truth of the matter is, we're not losing anything. In fact, we're gaining something by doing the same principles again, because it will only become deeper, and there will be more things to work on every time.
Absolutely.
Well, this is Tom. I'd like to propose that maybe we, it's 10:48 Eastern, and about 12 minutes left, and I'd like to maybe wrap up the conversation, or at least focus on a theme towards the end of this initial section that came up several times that I noticed in my notes and taking it today, and that is in the section page 39 to 42. It's entitled "It Can Be Another Way," and he starts with the Star Trek analogy, the shore leave, you know,
where
they're reading the planet was reading his mind, they're reading their minds and creating what was in there,
right?
And there was he says you know, what you hold in your mind with energy and focus will tend to be created in your life, but he says it takes a little longer to experience results because we keep changing our minds. And he uses the analogy, you know, you order soup, you know, one type of soup, and then a moment later you go, oh, no, I want hot and sour soup. Oh, wait, no, I want miso soup. Oh, no. And so it's that, for me, it's the staying focused on that thing that I really desire, along with all the other distractions. I got two small kids, you know, just getting things done during the course of the day. And the next thing I know, what was it again that I... Oh, yeah, I got to go back to what it is that I'd really like to manifest. So, I mean, I'm curious as to if anybody else has thoughts, or if you have some inspirational insights on that.
This is Christina.
Yes,
can I comment on that?
Certainly.
One of the things about the attractive factor and the whole idea of is just recognizing that every thought you have will become manifest in one way or another. So basically what he was saying is that we constantly have conflicting thoughts, and we're not clear about what it is we truly desire.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we want this or we want that, and we don't say, I definitely want this. Now, I've been attracting things my entire life, but I didn't really understand how it worked until I read The Attractor Factor. That's why I was so, you know, drawn to the book, because but what it is just like a thought in my head, and I just, you know, it's like just a momentary thing, and I let it go. And I didn't give it any more, you know, any more thought, and it would come true. But it was always, you know, a lot of these things were really big things, like, you know, finding places to live and jobs. I mean, I worked for 20 years. I never looked for a job or had a resume.
Wow.
I just would say, I need to double my income. I need this, or I need that, or I want to be here, or I want to be there, and it just happened.
I did not
actively do anything other than make that statement in my head, let go of it, and, you know.
Very powerful.
And it is very powerful, and one of the things is that we think too much. We try to analyze, we try to look at a way to work it. The attractive factor is not something you can work. It is something that just is, and it's a matter of acceptance that this is how the universe works. That everything that we think about, the universe takes literally.
Mm-hmm.
So everything, I mean, even things that happened that were not necessarily in my best interest, I know exactly that I can pinpoint the thought that created it.
Right.
And I'll give you an example. This summer, for some reason, I knew I had to have an annual female examination. I needed to have a mammogram. And I don't know why I thought this, but for some reason it just popped in my head about having an abnormal mammogram. And I was like, that's stupid. I don't have anything wrong with me or whatever. But it came in my head. Well, so in July when I had the mammogram, of course it was abnormal. I had to go back. I ended up having a biopsy. I knew in my heart that I created that whatever little tiny thing that was in there with that thought. And I told the surgeon that. I said, you're not going to find anything. I said, I manifested that. I said, but, and I did the same thing. And when I was in my late 30s, I had been single. I didn't get married till I was 40. I lived in New York City in my late 30s. And I don't know why I thought about this, but I had been told from when I was 21 that I would probably never be able to have children. And in a fleeting moment, I thought, you know, I wonder if I really could have children, but I wouldn't want to get pregnant because I could never have an abortion because I couldn't deal with that. And I got pregnant, and I had a miscarriage.
Oh. Sorry.
You know, and I knew exactly what it was. So thoughts are very powerful. I've been extremely intuitive since I was a young girl. And because of that, I think it's why I've always been so aware of the thoughts and the things that they've created.
Hmm. Can I cut in here for a minute?
Yes, who's this? Is this Ken?
No, this is Al.
Al, oh, I'm sorry.
One analogy that I use when I talk to people, and I want to expand what Christina has just been saying, about what's in your subconscious or your thoughts or in your heart. What I normally tell people is visualize as seeing a projector coming out of your chest. And whatever inside you is what's going to be projected in front of you. So you got two things here. Whatever you internalize, whatever beliefs you have, whatever truth that you have, that projector that's sticking out of your chest is playing right in front of you. And like Christina said, the clearer you are or the confused you are is what's going to project. So if you're clear on your thoughts, if you're clear on what's inside you, then you're going to get clear with it, good, bad, or ugly, whatever, is going to project right in front of you. But if that lens is off focus, then you got to get a mishmash of things happening in front of you. And a lot of people seem to understand that, though they still question the power of thoughts and the power of emotions and feelings and beliefs and truths that we've accepted. But they understand that it seems to them, and when I come across this way, is that whatever's inside, pretend it's just there's a movie camera projector coming out of your chest. And your life is the theater. It's the screen. And that's what's playing for you.
Now, that's a wonderful analogy.
It is. Tom, you had asked us to do something in the last few minutes. I'm not sure that we are. Are we?
Say that again?
You said in the last few minutes, let's...
Oh, in the last few minutes to take a look at that, the concept of... it takes a little longer when our thoughts are, you know, bounce around from one thing to another. It takes a little longer to create what it is that we desire to manifest in our lives.
Yeah.
So I just thought, because now we're at 10:57 and I'm excited about what we've done here tonight, having our first call, and I'm going to take the MP3 and I'll make an announcement when it's posted at the up on the web. I'll put it on the list, Susan. And
that's great.
And so I guess the next idea is to next week is to talk about chapters 1 and 2, and. Again, I guess what I'll do is I'll make some more notes. This is great, by the way. I get to go through and highlight my book and put these post-it notes all over the place. And which is what I always admire people when I see them with a book like that. I think, wow, that must have been a good book. Either that or they're in school or something. So I guess in wrapping up at this point is, what did you all get as a benefit, a takeaway from tonight?
This is David.
I think the idea that so many of us want, I'm sorry, that so many of us want this, obviously. All of us are apparently thinking the same thing. We need some help, a little circle here to help us do this.
Yeah. Yes, David.
To build on what you said, this is a good beginning for a dynamic growing group. As we go through the book and learn more about the principles, I can see all of us really growing and becoming much more proficient in Joe's attractive factor.
This is Bonnie. Whoever said the accountability, I know that I am accountable to you guys, and I will be able to be more diligent knowing I can't stay in the same place and show up to these calls. I have to make progress in order to keep up with you guys, and that's the kind of challenge that I needed. Thank you.
Thanks, Bonnie. I'll jump in. I think that the big thing at the beginning of the conversation for me was when Susan, you were talking about we were talking about creating the openings among, you know, our friends and people we can influence. I think that the greatest way to create that opening is to do what Joe's did, and that is make it work, make it so evident in my own life that is what's going to create the change in the rest of the world that I experience. Anybody else?
Susan, can I say one more thing?
Please.
This is something there's no question I got from your group, and I've got to tell you about it. I didn't write it because I was a little embarrassed, but I'm going to tell it to you guys. I woke up after having this really weird dream last night about Julia Roberts just before she hit in Pretty Woman,
mm-hmm.
which made her this huge international success. And I was with her, and I was going through her time with her as she's going through this process. And I realized just before I woke up that she is me. That's what this is about, that I'm like standing on the verge of something so beyond anything I could ever dream of. And all I could think of when I woke up was, that's what this group has done for me. That's what made this all possible.
Mm-hmm.
So a deep thanks to all of you, because I think we're all starting on a journey now that none of us knows where it's going to end, but we're going to go so much further than we ever thought we could go.
And faster.
Oh, well, yes.
That's already happened for a lot of us. Certainly for Al and I, it has. And Susan, you know it has for you. You the attractive factor is most definitely working in your life beyond your... We've emailed back and forth about this.
Oh.
That it is huge on the horizon, huge.
And Susan, you know, I've told you the same thing, too. You have no idea where you started.
I think of that often, Al. But you know something? What I think of it more is, look at who I brought to me. Because looking at it from that point of view, I mean, there's simply no limits at all. It's just unbelievable who's joined this group.
And Tom, you know, I think I'm the only one, this is Bonnie, on the call that's not part of the list. Because I got to Tom through your
newsletter. Right.
So I've never joined and participated in a Yahoo group. Is there somebody that can help me?
Susan.
Susan's list.
It's actually very easy, Bonnie. Basically, the simplest way to do this is go to yahoo.com and click on groups. And when they ask you what you're looking for, type in the attractor factor, and it will take you right to our list. Or, Tom, if you're in email contact with Bonnie, you might want to just send her the address of the list.
Yes.
The actual address. You can do it either way, but it's real simple, Bonnie.
I'll do that. I'll send you a link to the to the actual group, and then there's a little, you know, a link within that web page for the group that says want to join this group, and it tells you what to do. So it's quite easy.
Right. The main thing really is we've tried to keep it fairly simple, but I've been approving everybody who goes on, so just let us know you want to be there. We'll put you in.
Great. Yeah. So, Tom, you're going to send me two things. Joe's new, the email about his new book.
Yep.
And the link.
Yes.
Thanks.
Okay.
Tom, thank you so much, by the
thank
way,
you, Tom.
For all of us for doing this, for hosting this, and for getting this idea. This is great.
Oh, it's my pleasure. It's keeping me in the gym, so to speak. And
enough, too.
Yeah. Well, this is good. This is good. Well, then I'll see everybody here, same bat time, same bat channel, next week, Tuesday night.
And let's everybody who's had a good experience with this, I hope you'll mention it on the list so the people can know that it's really worth spending some time on and making some time for.
Yeah. Well, and if someone can't come next week, like we had discussed, it's I perceive that this is going to be a group where you can jump in whatever night you know you're missing, and just so that so long as everybody knows we're trying to use the book as a basic format for the next four calls and move through that, so we can discuss that on the list too. All right.
Tom, great. Tom, this is Ken.
Yes, Ken.
You mentioned that we're going to be studying chapters 1 and 2. I don't seem to have chapter numbers in my book.
I don't either. I'm sorry.
Did I say
chapter? Step 1, step 2?
Yes, I meant to say step.
No problem.
Step
okay.
1.
Step good. 1 and step 2 next time.
Yeah, good clarification. Yeah.
It looks pretty funny in the way that it doesn't actually really spell out like chapter numbers and
yeah.
all the steps are. You kind of have to dig for it.
Yeah, it's just...
It's very spiritual that way. It just expects you to get it.
It's like very
yeah. Okay, everybody.
Have a great week, everybody. Thank you so much.
Everybody, have a wonderful week. Great to talk to you.
Bye-bye.
Good night.
Bye. Bye.